the 18th of October, 2018, in the Lucy Coleman Studio in Los Angeles, California, late afternoon. This is PJ, your internet pastor. Want to spend a little up-close time with me today? Well, I want to spend it with you. What have I been doing today? Having most marvelous conversations with individuals. Speaking with people, speaking about people, getting into the heart of what it is to be human. I want to thank you for coming to my website and just give you a few suggestions on this up-close moment today. There's an awful lot for you to appreciate and enjoy on the website. What I like doing is scrolling down to some of the older clips. And I just listened to one where Larry had upgraded my server where I could put my first hour piece up. And it was a Ram Radio Live webcast. Bob Klink, Mark Ramsey was here in the Lucy Coleman studio with me. I just got through listening to it. This is the best way to listen to my broadcast when you're on the way to work. As a matter of fact, I was talking with a Filipino guy today, and he told me that he was driving in from way out in Northridge to a job that he's trying to get, and it took him 2.5 hours to get in on the freeway, bumper to bumper, in the morning, and you know, that would just be the perfect time for him to go to my website and go to one of these pieces and listen. It's some of the best, I think, Christian talk radio you're going to find on the internet today. And I'm not just saying it because I'm hosting it. I'm saying it because it's true. You know, you aren't going to hear me begging for no money. You're not going to hear me huck-suckling the word of God, trying to give you tidbits on how to be famous and fat and all that kind of stuff. Nah, not going to waste my time doing that. Never did, never will. I'm going to be that internet pastor that's going to challenge you to only do the things that you know will bring a tremendous benefit to your life. Want to just talk you through some stuff today. And I got so many manuscripts to choose to talk to you from. I want to get an easy one. One that was done way back years ago. See if my mind change. Look at PJ up close. See if he's a con man. If his mind changed from when he did Bible studies before he even owned a computer. Can you believe that? I got one here. Call the 5 blundering mistakes. That's right. 5 blundering mistakes. And first mistake in this particular section was the wrong price. I'll read it to you in a little bit. The wrong price. The second one was the wrong place. The third one was the wrong person. And the fourth one was the wrong attitude. And the fifth one was the wrong, what is this? Prescription. Now, this is going to be very, very interesting because I don't know what these verses taught. And I'm going to have some fun with it, and I'm going to ask you to do it with me. And so that you know I'm not kidding. Let's get our Bibles and turn to the second book of Kings. That's right. That's in the Old Testament for those of you Bible thumpers that don't know your book. Grab the Bible. You don't have anything to do tonight. Come on. I've decided that I'm going to do for you folk what I used to do years ago. Not going to switch it up because, you know, I tried to get away from doing all this stuff. I tried to say, you know what? You know, like somebody told me, John, haven't you done enough? Aren't you tired of hearing yourself talk? Let me share something with you guys. There are some people out there that whose lives are falling apart literally in front of them. They don't know what the heck to do. if they go to church, all the church is doing is trying to get money out of their behinds instead of trying to help them. 2 Kings 5, I'm turning to it. Verses 1 through 14. It's not a lot of verses. You got time. You turn there with me? I hope so. And we're going to look at this together. 5 blundering mistakes. All right? Go back with me. This is hundreds of years ago. And I'm going to see if we can pick up utilitarian principle here. What is that? This principle of utility means that it's a principle which approves or disapproves of every action whatsoever. And I think looking at it philosophically would be important. It kind of brings the Bible scripture alive. Now, for those of you that's reading it already and trying to figure out where I'm going with it, oh yeah, I know what his mistake was. I know what the wrong price was. No, you don't. No, you don't. No, you don't. Learn how to read your Bible. So often when I pastor the church, I had a lot of young men, they were following me. They were, oh, Pastor John loves us. Darn straight, I love you. See a black man in a room, opening up a Bible, turning the pages, that's one of the most beautiful sights you ever want to see. I don't know what you're talking about. I'd rather see him doing that than turning the pages of a funny book in prison. So many of our population are locked up. I bet there's a lot of them that if they're in prison and the prison lets them go to the internet, I hope they're listening to me. Man, now that would be a good thing. Hey, doc, let me play my stuff to the guys in jail. All right, wait a minute. You don't believe me, do you? I'm going to read a letter that I got from a person in one of the state prisons here in New York a couple of days ago. Let me lean over here, give this. Because see, you think I'm lying. That's all right. I got an hour to do this webcast, so we'll do that. Hold on. All right. Here it is. Where is the letter? Here it is. Here it is. I got the letter right in front of me. And he sent it right up to my door here, too. I'm so happy about this. That's a real piece of paper I'm opening up, right? See, I got a little depressed, and I said, oh, God, I'm not going to do it anymore. No, listen to this. Hey, Junie, this is blank. You don't need to know who it is. I miss you and love you dearly. This ain't no woman. This is a dude. Now, see, you have to understand. I hate it when the air comes in and makes me cough. But when a dude says that he loves you dearly, you better believe him. He's not lying about that. He says, hope you are okay. Then he says, I'm hanging in here for the most part. I'm still waiting on you to get approved. I will let you know as soon as I do. I miss you, old man. You are a great inspiration to our black community and to me. I miss you. I miss you dearly. You are amazing to me, and I love you forever. Please do not give up. I'm almost home. Hang in there for me. I love you. Are you okay? Hey, man, thanks for the candy money. And he kind of laughs out loud. And if you can put more in there. And then he gave me a price to put in. Oh, he's funny. He's really funny. Yes, he is. That would be perfect. Then he told me how to send him money directly to the state thing. But that's interesting. I didn't know that you can go to mixed cash checking and put his little prison number up there and send him money. I got a question. Would you send him money? What's he in for? I don't know. Raping your mama. I don't care what he's in for. I ask you, would you send him money? Why does it matter? What is he in there for? Let's see. Man, We're supposed to be around here loving people and everything. Well, I send him money once I find out he's in there. He's in there for some crime. He wouldn't be in there if he didn't do the crime. He wouldn't be doing the time. I ask you, would you send him some money? I already sent him some money, and I know what he's in there for. And I'd never do that. See, read your Bible correctly. And stop following these pimps, because you're beginning to sound like one. Well, if they don't believe the way that I believe, you know what? Thank God I don't believe the way you believe, because if I believe the way you believe, nobody would get recompense for anything. And I know I'm right about it. Thank you for coming to my website. I'm just keeping it like it is because we need to understand. Verses 1 through 14 of 2 Kings in your Bible. Some of you may say, yeah, it's a Bible that the white man wrote. Why are you reading? You don't know who wrote this, fool. If you do an academic study, you would know that the Europeans had nothing to do with this writ until ages after the original transcripts were documented. So don't talk to me. I'm not only a theologue, I know how long these pieces have been here and how legitimate they are. Some of the writings that you need to question are the writings that you come in contact with in your life. Now Naaman, captain of the army, the king of Aram, was a great man with his master and highly respected. Because of him, the Lord had given the victory to Aram. This man was also a valiant warrior, but he was a leper. In other words, he was kind of like a commander under the king, but he had AIDS, let's put it that way. Because at that time, when leprosy was out, that was the AIDS of the age. And if you don't believe me, you can watch that Hollywood movie of, what was it? Burt Lancaster, I forget who it is, when he had leprosy. I forget the name of the movie. My mind just went blank. But it's a good movie to show you how people feared leprosy. One of those old Paramount pictures, Ben-Hur, that's the movie. Judah Ben-Hur, Charlton Heston played Judah Ben-Hur. And what happened is that the nasty Romans had put Ben-Hur's family in a leper colony, and they contracted leprosy, and Judah Ben-Hur goes to get him. It's a great movie. It has spiritual connotation to it. Good family entertainment, by the way. Excellent family entertainment. I have it in my collection. I may watch the movie tonight. All right. So this great commander had leprosy. Now the Arameans had gone out in bands and had taken captive a little girl from the land of Israel, and she waited on Naaman's wife. In other words, this little girl was kind of like a slave to Naaman's family, and she took care of him. And she said to her mistress, I wish that my master were with the prophet who was in Samaria, when he would cure him of his leprosy. In other words, she said, if he knew the man I knew, he wouldn't be walking around here all messed up with this AIDS plague and disease. And Naaman went in and told his master, saying, thus and thus spoke the girl who is from the land of Israel. And the king of Aram said, go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothes. See, that's what he was going to pay for this cure of this disease. And let me tell you something. That is a heck of a lot of goods back in the day. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, And now, as the letter comes to you, behold, I have sent Naaman, my servant, to you, that you may cure him of his leprosy. In other words, the king loved Naaman, and he said, you can have all this stuff if you cure this mighty general of his leprosy. And it came about that when the king of Israel read the letter, that he tore his clothes and said, am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man is sending word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? But consider now and see how he is seeking a quarrel against me. In other words, the king of Israel said, this man, I can't cure this general. What are you trying to do? Start an interterritorial war with me? Why would he give me a charge like this and bring all this booty or bounty, if you will, to me? I can't do it. And it happened that when Elijah, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent a word to the king saying, why have you torn your clothes? Now let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. Now, I love this verse when I preach, because that's the kind of man I was when I was behind the pulpit. There's nothing too difficult. I was standing in front of my house today with the task undoubting me. I have to get the task done because it would bring danger to my life. Danger to the very place that I live. And I left, as a matter of fact, when the man spoke with me, I said, I cannot pay you. I don't have anything. I don't know how that is going to be resolved. I'm sorry. You can't come to me. And the man said, but your living quarters is in danger. I said, I can't do it. Just let me tell you this. It was taken care of. And the man said he's going to be here tomorrow morning to start the work. And I couldn't do anything to stop it. That's the kind of a God I serve. That's the kind of a God I worship. That's the kind of a man I am. I haven't had a job since 2016. How is this happening? My God said, I shall supply all of your needs, John Coleman, according to my riches and glory. Now, you may say, well, how do I get to know a God like this? And there's an old song that my daddy used to play on the record player. Straighten up and fly right. Let me keep reading. Verse 9. So Naaman came up with his house and his chariots and stood at the doorway of the house of Elijah. Now, what that means is he brought his whole family with him. Because when you got AIDS, or leprosy, if you will, it was a death sentence and you was going to die. And back in the day, like I'm looking at a picture of my computer, I'm hugging my grandchildren. That's my family. Okay, I see a picture of my late friend Don Ross hugging his family. See, because whenever you go somewhere, you take your family with you. Oh, some of you didn't know that Don passed away. Don is dead. Horrible. Talk to me about it. I'll tell you one of these days. Don't worry about it. So he went there with his family into the house of Elisha, came to the preacher's house. That reminds me, I have a DVD in my custody of a family who was in Los Angeles in the year 2012 to get their baby dedicated to the Lord. No church would do it without charging money in that way. And they couldn't find anybody, but the grandmother heard about my webcast, contacted me. I had the family come over here, and for free, I dedicated the baby to the Lord with the mother and the father and the entire family from New York State in my home. In my home. See, if you want God to do something, you go to a real preacher's home. Don't try to go to these big bishops' home. You think T.D. Liar would let you in? Creflo, give me a dollar, would let you in his home? Yeah, right. Let's continue to read this. And Elijah sent a message to him saying, in other words, Elijah was in his house, but he didn't come out to meet him. He sent one of his servants and said, man, you go tell him this. Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times and your flesh will be restored to you and you shall be clean. In other words, preacher said, go and wash, take a dip in the Jordan River. And when you dip that AIDS, I keep calling it AIDS because we can relate to AIDS here, right? That's a fearful thing for us to get. Some kind of venereal disease and stuff like that. I tell a lot of young men that I know, y'all need to be careful about having all this sex with each other and with these women too. Because, man, you're going to get something that only God can cure. And if you don't know God on any level, you're not getting cured. You're going to die in it. And, yes, I've always been one of those kind of preachers that would tell you the truth. I don't know how to lie to you. Now, look what Naaman, look at how Naaman responded to what Elisha, the Tishbite, said. Now, Naaman was furious. And he went away and said, behold, I thought, see, that's your problem. Didn't nobody tell you to think about nothing, fool? You were supposed to do what the man of God told you to do. I had a man come to visit me yesterday, told me that he was desperate for some cash. And he said, now I know how to make some money. And I said, yeah, well, if you know how to make some money, you know how to go to jail too. And I said, don't think that because you're walking with a limp, that you won't suffer behind bars. Ask Billy Boy Cosby. How's he feeling? Somebody told me he's ordering steak when he wants to. That's because he's a billionaire. That don't mean he's not going to suffer the consequences of his debauchery. There it is. Now look at this. Look at this. Look at this. Naaman said, behold, I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord, his God, and wave his hand over the place and cure the leper. Now, doesn't that sound like what goes on in the church today? See, you have to understand. All right, let me keep on reading. Verse 12. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? In other words, Israel got muddy water. That Jordan is full of mud, leeches, lice, and everything else. And you telling a man of my character and of my disposition to go and dip in a mud pile? What? Then he goes on in verse 12 and says, could I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. Now his whole family and his servant girl and all of them heard this Negro tissy fitting. Oh yeah, this is in your Bible. That you don't think it's any good stories in here, huh? Oh my friend, this book has kept me. A lot of people say, how could you stay with your wife and your relationship was not well? Because of this book. This book will cause you to stay with anybody. And my wife was a lovely lady. I loved her. We differ. She wanted a bigger house. She wanted a lot of stuff. I was just talking with a friend of mine today, and he said, I remember that. I said, what did I tell her? I said, shut up. You sound like one of these foolish women. I told her, you're only going to get what I give you, and what I'm giving you, if it's not good enough, you can move out of this house. That's the way I spoke to my wife. I wouldn't dare be married to one of these women today, because I'd end up in prison. Wait a minute. Verse 13, then his servants, Naaman's servant, came near him and spoke to him and said, my father. Now, you see, this was a term of respect that the servants gave the man that was feeding him. Everybody in that culture that had money had some slaves. I know we think, slave is terrible, slave is negative. We shouldn't be exonerating slavery and stuff. Look, in every culture that you go to, there's going to be somebody scrubbing and cleaning and somebody paying for it. I just left a man who's trying to get a good scrubbing and cleaning job. And I said, hey, buddy, can I give you a secret? Whatever this man tells you to do over here, shut up, don't question it, do it, and you will work. He was complaining about how far he had to drive to get to his job. And I said, you ought to thank God you got one and got a nice little car that can get you there. Stop complaining and do what this man told you to do. Now, that's all the servants are saying. My father, had the prophet told you to do something, some great thing, would you have done it? See, the principle of utility is meant that it's a principle which approves or disapproves of every action whatsoever, according to the tendency which it appears to have augmented or diminished the happiness of the party whose interest is in question. The great general's health issue was at question. And the servant said, why don't you just do what you were told to do? It says, how much more then when he says to you, wash and be clean? In other words, it said, oh, now in any other person's life, they would have been dead right after they said it, because if you speak to somebody that got a lot of money, somebody that owns a lot of stuff, you will find yourself dead when you think you have enough guts to speak with them on that level. That would have been the suicide trip. Hey, Hardcore, I hear you walking around here. I wish you could read this scripture for me. You don't even know what I have in my hand, do you, fella? I know you don't. All right. Look at verse 14. He went down and dipped himself seven times. Now, we don't know what happened between verse 13 and 14. We don't know whether he said, you don't talk to me like that, fool. Do you know who I am? Or maybe he dropped his head and looked in the mirror, started scratching one of them scars on him and started bleeding. So he went and he dipped himself in the river seven times, the number of completion in Israel, in Judaism, seven times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God. And his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child. And he was clean. Now, that's the whole thing. But let's go back to our scripture and let's look at something, because point number one I had here in this typed outline that I brought to, and I wasn't the pastor of a church, I was just a Bible study leader, and this is on a 5x8 sheet of paper, and it says that I gave this Bible study the first time on May the 22nd, 1977. See, we're talking about, you know, checking me out. You think I've changed? You think I've forgotten any of this? I just forgot where it was in the Bible. Bible has so many stories. If anybody asked me to bring up, I have a notebook. This is a 5x8 notebook, which has about 350 Bible studies in it. I know that I'll never preach through this thing again. I would love to put them all up on my website and have a discussion like this. I may end up doing it. This is just one of what? One of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I have 6 5x8 notebooks full of lessons. Some on a dot matrix computer when I first got my first PC. All these Bible studies. And have you ever heard a preacher say, man, I don't know what I'm going to speak on Sunday. But he got you shouting in there, talking in tongues, trying to claim your victory, and trying to make one leg grow an inch smaller than another leg, and got you jumping through loops and acting a fool. God, help us. Number one, the wrong price. And we see that in verse 5. And that was obvious because he said, now I will send you to him. I'll send a letter. And then he departed. And he took with him talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothes. Wrong price. You can't pay God to heal you. You can't. No. you might as well leave that alone. You cannot pay God. Oh man, I just got healed. It's the wrong price if you think you're going to go and try to give God anything to make God. No. God's going to always give you the challenge to do the thing that you're supposed to do. Listen to the man of God. A lot of you and a lot of us in this country is going through hell because our religious leaders are hellacious. All right, it was the wrong place. Where was the wrong place? It's also in verse 5. Because it says, King Amos said, go now, I will send him a letter to the king of Israel. See, he went, Naaman said to his master. See, he went to the wrong place. What you do is you go to God directly in times like that, in places like that. You don't find yourself, listen, I had a situation around my house. I always have them around my house where I have to do things. How am I going to make it, Lord? I'm not working anymore. Anything happens in this house, I got to pay for it. I got to pay for the plumbing. I got to pay for this. I'm not making no extra money. I'm living off of Social Security. What? Why does God always work it out for me? Why? And also, the wrong person. In verse 6. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, now I have a letter that comes to you, and I have Naaman, who is my servant to you, that you may cure him of his leprosy. You see, he went to the wrong person. You don't go to anybody to try to get anybody to cure anybody of anything. You just don't do it. The wrong attitude. And of course, the wrong attitude was verse 11, when he went off and said, I ain't going to get in that muddy Jordan River. And you know, most of us are like that. Ooh, it's smelling here. Ooh, did you see Pastor John? His hair was kind of nappy. It wasn't. Ooh, man, you know, I don't know. Stay away from it then. This man came by to see me yesterday, and he was talking about, he said, PJ, I know how to make some money. I said, indeed, you too. You grew up in the hood. What's the matter with you? I just have never been that kind of a man. I said, all these dudes come to church, and they're repenting of all they sin. You know, oh, Lord, I'm sorry. I had sex with them. I didn't have sex with no women, except maybe two women outside of my wife. And in most of those, yeah, in both of the sexual encounters, it was experimentation. I just wanted to see what it was like because I was 21, 22, and I didn't know what to do. I'm one of them kind of dudes that didn't fool around and chase that stuff. So when I came to the Lord, I didn't have a whole bunch of closeted sins to repent of like these people do. I guess these people, I asked one man how many women are people basically did he have sex with, and he said hundreds upon hundreds before he came to the church. I said, no wonder you hear praying and singing loud. I said, something wrong with you. Common sense would tell you that slow down or something. I'll go to a country where you're going to have more than one wife. Get a job where you can take care of them, and then you can have as much as that as you want. But you get one of these women, all they do is marry you for your finance, and then the sex line is cut off for the rest of the marriage. And then you've been duped. Wrong attitude. And then, of course, verse 12 was the wrong prescription. See, there's better waters, another place to bathe in. I mean, it wasn't the waters, man. It was obeying the man of God who knew God's heart. And in obeying the man of God who knew God's heart, it procured unto you salvation from your AIDS or from your leprosy. I told a man whose nature is just like mine. He came to visit me in my office. The church man played the piano, sung in the choir, told me about his dilemma. Said he couldn't be with his wife anymore. He couldn't sustain any kind of ongoing, lasting relationship with her. And so I said, I understand. And I said, what are you going to do? And he said, all I know is I can't stand it. I said, well, get away from what you can't stand. I said, don't ever stay in something that you can't stand. Because the more you stay around something that you cannot stand, it will inevitably grab you to the point that you will do anything in your life to get away from that thing. In this particular case, it was his wife. And he did. I had no idea that he did it, but he did. I said, don't stay there if that's going to kill you or mess up your life. Now, a lot of people would tell me that my counsel would have been the wrongest counsel in the world. Just like Elisha the Tishbite told this man, go and dip yourself in the Jordan River 7 times. Didn't that sound foolish? And the man asked me after I gave him the antidote, for he said, well, you're basically suffering from the same thing that I am. And I said, yes, this is true. And he says, well, why won't you leave? I said, I'm going to God with mine. You came to me. I said, I know God would tell me to never keep myself in a situation that I would be unhappy. So I would tell you, don't remain in a situation where you're unhappy. Be truthful to yourself now, truthful with the person. Give them time to go on with their lives and to be what they want to be. Don't hold them hostage under a marriage contract that was put together by a bunch of capitalists that was just trying to keep a certain economy going. Let me say this right now. I would choose to live with whomever I wanted. We're talking about utility, right? We're talking about, you're looking at it, it appears to have to augment or to diminish the happiness of the parties whose interest is in question. So if you are being diminished, you must do something in a utilitarian spirit to remove yourself from that fallacy. That's what you have to do, whether you like it or not. I know. There was a guy named Bentham. He was a philosopher. A number of years ago, he was a leader of a group of philosophical radicals whose aim was to reform the laws and the institutions of England along the lines of utilitarianism. And one of his followers, if you do the study, and I did when I taught in philosophy and ethics, one of his followers was a man named James Mill, M-I-L-L, the distinguished Scottish philosopher, historian, and economist. Now, this is important because you're looking at the society that you live in. You're trying to ask if it is ethically correct. Why is it that when you marry somebody, and I'm just going to bring it up, why is it if you marry somebody and you find out that that person, number one, never loved you. Number two, does not respect you. Number three, doesn't have any of your interests at their heart. What are you doing sacrificing the rest of your life with that person And you know that person will never come around to be on your side. What are you still working, giving them money and all this stuff? Why would you keep yourself in prison? I used to do marriage counseling as a pastor, and I used to do pre-marriage counseling, and I would ask people, why are you marrying this person? This person is a disaster. I'm thinking about one couple right now. I dare not mention their names. They were a disaster from the first minute that I saw them. A hydrogen bomb ready to go off. Now let's go back to this other guy. I hadn't seen him in over 20 years. When he saw me, he told me that he did what I suggested for him to do. I said, how's your life? This man's flying all over the world. He's doing business, still loves his son. He takes pictures with his ex. He is happy as could be. But he's free. He's free. I know what being free is because I'm free. I am free of anybody's dictates in my life, especially if that dictate is going to have me thinking and looking crazy in a few days. Let's get back to James Mill, the distinguished Scottish philosopher and historian and economist. This is what he says. His son, John Stuart Mill, would become the leading advocate of utilitarian moral theory for the next generation. And this is a theory that the Western United States has been adapting. This theory had a main idea that we should envision a certain state of affairs that we would like to see come about. And that's what they're doing in these churches. They're utilitarianists, that is, casting visions, and then you're supposed to catch on to that vision. You better figure out if God really wants you to be there. Because if God is not behind this vision casting, then something else is behind it, and I think that you need to determine what it is behind that. Because this theory that they're postulating in these churches these days is a state of affairs in which all people are happy and well off as they can be. Now, the Bible never promises that anywhere. I had to tell a man that was by my house yesterday. I said, God never said that you're going to be prosperous. You're never going to have problems like that. Then we should try to bring about then the state of affairs insofar as this utilitarian principle is possible that everybody going to be happy. Why don't you open up your house and let two Haitian people that suffered the loss of everything in the earthquake come and live with you? They'd be very happy. Send them a ticket. Bring them to your house in America and let them stay in the back room, feed them, let them get a job, take care of them. That's a utilitarian action. Wouldn't that make you happy? Shut up lying, church member. Shut up lying. You know what? These people are saying that we should ask, what course of conduct would promote the greatest amount of happiness? Well, the prophet told Elijah the Tishbite, told the man what he should do. Go dip in that Jordan River 7 times and you come up. And then it took one of his slave girls, human bondage and property that he owned, slavery. She came to him and said, if he told you something difficult to do, like climb Mount Everest or find Hannibal with a bunch of elephants and go through the Alps, you break your behind doing that. All he asked you to do was go and dip in a river 7 times? Man, what's wrong with you? Now, we don't know whether he killed that slave girl when she talked with him like that. Because back in the day, when you talked to people that owned you, as common stuff, they would cut your throat. But he did it. And the Bible says that his skin was looking like baby skin. The age had disappeared. Now, why did Pastor John, your internet pastor, bring you this lesson? Oh, look at that beautiful picture right there. My computer is just showing these different pictures on the screensavers, And I had pictures of a bunch of men that were in the house with me. I love it when a bunch of men are around me in the right way. And here's a picture of my men's retreat right here. All those men from the vet. Oh, that was a good days. I remember that. God has left me wonderful, sweet memories to look at. That's my status of affairs. But anyhow, thank you for coming to my website and allowing me to bring you a Bible study. You hear Harcourt? He's protecting me. I'm going to say thank you for coming to the website. I hope that you scroll down, listen to some of the older clips. You will hear me bring newer stuff like this as day to day, because I'm fighting the worst kind of depressions, and I want you guys to do something for me. My play son Morio is leaving Sunday, going to Papua New Guinea to do his life's work, to help people from that part of the world. Do something. I just want you to remember him in your prayers. You don't have to know in detail what it is. You should go to his website. You can go to Facebook and type in Morio Canto, okay? And you'll be able to find his website that he's putting together. And follow him as he takes his journeys through Papua, documenting the ethnic tribes and the people of Papua New Guinea. Now, you may say, that's not, what kind of a career is that? It's an honest one. It's never been done. It's never been done. Don't tell me that it can't be done, because then you got to stop all the other people that had fanciful ideas about doing something. But pray for him. This Sunday he'll be flying out of here, and I hope never to come back to see me. And I mean that in a loving way. Do that for me. Thank you so much for coming to my website. This is Pastor John, your internet pastor, saying, you know the drill. If you want to read more stories like this, open up that Bible. Take a look at it. I'll be your Bible storytelling man, and so that you can get the drift of what God is trying to say to us today. God bless you. Good night.